Well, we've been, first of all, good morning. Good to be here. Lovely to see you. We've been worshipping this morning and all about the love of our Heavenly Father. And Rachel brought that word, didn't she? She just said simply, God loves you. And that was the word I got. When I was praying at home this morning, he wants you to know he loves you. He loves you. We hear it a lot, don't we? But how often do we actually take it down deep into our spirits and take the fullness of what that means in our lives? So I've got the joy and the privilege of sharing with you this morning on the Abrahamic covenant. And I mean, this is just a wonderful and a massive subject to cover. So there's no way that I can cover it. So I've just selected one or two little things, big things actually, big things. that the Bible tells us. And just before I start, I just let's have a moment of reflection of God and who he is. And I want to share with you just four scriptures while we're in that reflection. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Christ redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And the last truth from Galatians 3, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. When God made his covenant with Abraham, it was and it is permanent forever. And it's ours today. And I just think it's just so big. You kind of can crawl in it. And sit on the lap of the Father, close to his heart. And it's good to be reminded that the Gentiles, that's us, get to inherit the blessings of Abraham. And knowing this as truth should change the way in which we think and act as children of God. We are Abraham's seed. And I hope that as I speak this morning and as we look at the Abrahamic covenant and the blessings that we've inherited and the blessings that we live in, that you will be encouraged. And I'll just pop the first slide up, if I may. As Graham reminded us when he opened this series on covenants, every covenant made by God contains his promises. It helps us to understand our identity, who we are as children of God, and then to live it out. And the expectation is that we would be obedient to God. Before I actually dig into the Abrahamic covenant, I thought it might be quite helpful to for us to look at the what a covenant is, the parts of a covenant. Next slide, please. And at the making of a covenant, there was always the shedding of blood. An animal was slain, and its carcass was split down the middle into two halves and laid open. And the parties making the covenant walked through the blood path between the pieces of the divided animal. And this was in vivid symbolism. They proclaimed that they were entering into a death and were journeying into a new life. They were dying to self and entering a new relationship of union with the party, with the other party of the covenant. And they also shed their own blood. Usually it was drawn from the right hand or the right arm. And then they raised that arm, which was bleeding, calling upon God to be their witness. And we see an example of that if we read in Genesis 31 about Jacob and Laban. And the covenant seal was the scars from that wound, declaring that they were parties to the covenant. And from the making of that covenant, both parties were declaring and described as friends. Now, the word friendship and friends has rather been toned down in our modern language. But in those days, it was fully understood. And it was a high honour to be called a friend, for it had announced a covenant relationship. And we probably know that, and in Scripture, 2 Chronicles 20, Abraham's called a friend of God because he believed God. And then every covenant ended in a meal that declared the covenant to be valid and in effect, declaring the parties to eat the same bread and drink of the same wine, as we've shared this morning, telling the world that they were one. And the last aspect of covenant that I wish to highlight is the importance of the loving kindness, or in Hebrew, hesed, love. And the oath created through the covenant means that a new kind of family is bound together with an unbreakable life and death relationship. That's what a covenant was. I think it's lost its meaning in modern times. But Abraham and others, when God brought the covenant, would have fully understood the depth and the meaning of what God was doing. Hesed means mercy, goodness, steadfast love, loyal love, covenant love, or simply loving kindness. That's mainly how our Bibles translate it. And the most amazing thing for us is that God, in his unconditional love for us, has called us into an unbreakable covenant relationship with himself, calling us into the circle of friendship in which God and humanity are eternally bound together in an intimate love union. And our responsibility is to respond through obedient love. So those are the elements of the covenant. And I hope that it would help us as we look at the Abrahamic covenant with a kind of fresh understanding and maybe insight. So the core of God's heart in all the covenant that God made with man can be clearly seen. And each covenant builds on the last one. So as we go through this series of covenants, you'll see that in each covenant God made with man, it increased God's generosity. Everything we have comes from God. So there's nothing we can do in terms of increase. But God, out of his hesed love for us, pours out of himself to not only show how much we're forgiven, but also to show how much we are loved. And as we look at the Abrahamic promises, I'll start first with Genesis 12. Genesis 12 says, "Now God said to Abram, leave your country, your relatives and your father's house, and go to the land I will show you. God called Abram at the age of 75 years, out of familiar surroundings, out of the worldliness of family and friends and possessions, to leave behind everything and follow him exclusively. And we're never too old to receive the call of God." We've been talking about 70th birthdays. We're never too old to receive the call of God. And Hebrews 11 tells us, "By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would later receive as an inheritance. And he went not knowing where he was going." Abram was obedient to God's call and left as the Lord had told him, together with his nephew Lot. And in the process of his journey in the natural, God revealed to Abram the heavenly destination for all of us who follow that pathway of faith. God was leading Abram on the path of revelation and ultimate salvation. Abram was a Gentile, saved by faith, same as us. Only later, through the covenant of circumcision, did he become a Jew. And as Gentiles, we are saved by faith, grafted into the family of God. And like Abram, we are on that journey of faith. Genesis 12:2 says, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." Isn't that? I just think that's so beautiful. "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Wow, that is just amazing. How true. When we know the blessings of God. This blessing differs from that of Adam and Eve. God wants his people to grow and multiply and have dominion and influence, but he also wants us to be like him and be a source of blessing. And this applied to Israel first and then to us Gentiles from when we were grafted in. We are called to be salt and light, and because of God's love for us, we can show and are called to show practical love to those we meet through acts of kindness and generosity. And when we walk into a room, we are carriers of God's kingdom. We are carriers of God's power. We are the light of Christ, separating light from darkness and making a difference. That's the truth. We are God's instruments of salvation and healing to the world. And when we sow blessings, we in turn will reap greater blessings as we imitate our Father. However, it's very important to note that whoever curses you, I will curse. Now, if we believe the truth about the blessings, then we must also believe the truth about the curses. And I think we need to let that sink in as we pray for Israel, and perhaps as our mindset for Israel too. Genesis 12:7, as we move on a little bit, on the arrival in the land of Canaan, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give you this land." Land continues to be very important to God, and he has blessed us with land in this nation. And it's our responsibility to work it and care for it. And I believe that much of what we see today on the earth is a consequence of generation of man's sin on the land and our continued sinful living. Genesis 13:14-16, we read that Abraham separated from Lot and returned to Canaan, where the Lord appeared to him for a second time. And the Lord said to Abram, "Lift up your eyes from where you are and look to the north, to the south, to the east and the west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go and walk the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." What an incredible promise that is. And God promised it again in Genesis 15. And that promise of God was never broken, as we see in the account of in Exodus and Joshua, as the people of God moved eventually and took the land. And God's word is truth and will never, ever be broken. And if God promises you something, you can be sure that it will happen. Though it may take a little while to see the fruit, as we read in Abraham. But that promise that he has given to each one of us here in this place will come into being. As we move through Genesis, I just want to pause for a little while because something really significant happens in Genesis 14. We read about Melchizedek, king of Salem, and Moses giving one-tenth of everything. Genesis 14 says, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, 'Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand.'" This is Jesus, priest of the God Most High, blessing Abram and receiving a tenth of everything Abram had. Melchi comes from the Hebrew word melech, which means king. And the I on the end of Melchi means my. And Zedek comes from the Hebrew word tzedek, which means righteousness. So the name Melchizedek means my king of righteousness. And Salem is Jerusalem, which means city of peace, and comes from the word shalom. So the whole means my king of righteousness, the king of peace. And in the title, priest of God Most High, we are introduced to the eternal priesthood, preceding and far superior to the Aaronic Levitical order. In his precise role as he met Abraham, Melchizedek brought bread and wine, the language of covenant. And later, as we read on in Genesis 15, Abraham and we get the full revelation of who Melchizedek is. He is the word of the Lord. And Abraham immediately recognized the Word of God as God himself. Now I think about these things, I'm just in awe of the God in whom we serve. I just find it mind-blowing and it bowls me over. And it is so much of God, the covenant keeper. And until this point, God had made fantastic promises to Abraham, but he hadn't yet made a covenant. Although the bread and the wine brought by Jesus speaks of the new covenant still to come. It's in Genesis 15 when we see God's promises turned into covenant, God's covenant. Abraham called out to God. Time had passed, but he called out to God, "You have given me no children." Here's God giving him all these promises, but no children. But once again, God reminded Abraham of the promise. And Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. But still, Abraham wanted to know, how would it be? When would it be? And we can cry out in that same way. It's okay to do that. If God's given you a promise, if God's given us a promise, and it seems it'll never come, and we, like Abraham, are saying, when, O Lord? You know, how does it seem possible? It's okay to do that. And God, in his love and in his compassion, encourages us, just as he did Abraham. Because it was at that point that God reassured Abraham through the covenant. And we see in Scripture God's instructions to Abraham to lay the animals out in halves opposite each other. He then fell into a deep sleep, and God reveals to him what the future holds. It will be the fourth generation who return to claim the promised land. Abraham would therefore not see the fruit. And with Abraham in a deep sleep, and God reveals to him, he took no part in that covenant. Abraham was deeply asleep. And I think this is the message that comes across to us. We play no part in the covenant God makes with us, in this very covenant even. But God expects obedience from Abraham and his descendants. And the sign of the covenant is circumcision, which I'll come onto in a moment. So the vision of God walking through the blood with fire and smoke suggests God's holiness, his zeal for righteousness, and his judgment on all the nations. But it was God who took the initiative, giving the confirmation and followed through on his promises. God passing through the blood was a reassurance to Abraham that the covenant of God was real. And we can take encouragement from that for the promises that we have received from God. We serve a covenant-keeping God, and we have the privilege of knowing the history of Israel to confirm God's word is truth. I'd like to just mention the covenant of circumcision in Genesis 17. The circumcision for all Jews was a sign of God's covenant with them. This is not a covenant with us or for the Gentiles. It's for the Jews and still holds today with the promise of land for Israel. It was at this point when Abraham becomes Abraham, the father of many. And effectively, he becomes a Jew. Why did God require circumcision? Well, it's a sign of humble obedience in all matters. It's a sign of belonging to his covenant people. Once circumcised, there was no turning back. The man would be identified as a Jew forever. And as a symbol of cutting back the old life of sin and purifying one's heart and dedicating oneself to God. Circumcision, more than any other practice, separated God's people from their pagan neighbours. And in Abraham's day, it was essential to develop the pure worship of the one true God. And I believe that's exactly the same for us today. And on that very day, Abraham responded in obedience. And at the age of 99 years, he and all the males in his household were circumcised with him. So Abraham's journey of faith was certainly remarkable, and it's worth just picking up your Bibles and reading it through for yourselves. I've hardly touched on it really. But it's a fine example for us today, especially since it wasn't perfect. Abraham made mistakes, serious mistakes. And you'll read that for yourselves. But the one I highlight is Ishmael. That was a serious mistake on Abraham's part. He couldn't wait for the promise of God. The promise, the covenant promise, was with Isaac. But in God's grace and his love for Abraham, he answered Abraham's prayer, and Ishmael fathered a nation of 12 rulers. But the promise, the covenant, was for Isaac. Abraham was called a friend of God because he believed God. He trusted him. And being a friend of God means living in an intimate relationship, being able to share deepest thoughts and concerns without fear of rebuke or rejection, and knowing with that deep conviction that we are loved unconditionally. And that's where we are. In an intimate relationship with God. That's where God wants us to be. That we should be able to share our deepest thoughts, our deepest concerns, without any fear of rebuke or rejection. Because God loves us unconditionally. It speaks of faithfulness, loyalty, and enduring friendship. And having a fear of the Lord causes us to want to know him intimately. And if we're in that place of intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, where we trust him with all that we have and all that we are, then we're also in that place of having fear of the Lord. It follows on and it comes naturally. God's yearning for us is to reach out and for him to draw us into that inner circle of intimate friends. This is the covenant of love. The covenant love of God. We are God's children, dearly beloved. Every believer has been called to such a relationship with God in Jesus Christ and in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We are saved from sin for such a relationship. Psalm 25, verse 14, I think probably sums up the very essence of God. It says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Let's just reflect and consider. I just put 3 points up on the slide, but really what I've put up, it goes much, much deeper. Let's just reflect on God's Hesed love for all of us, his children. What does it mean to you? And because we are seeds of Abraham, the blessings given to Abraham are ours for eternity. Are the blessings promised that you've given up on, that you've kind of forgotten or thought would never come into fruition? In our circumstances, in the busy world in which we live, and we get our knocks and setbacks, and have we forgotten how much God loves us and how faithful and how truthful his promises are? I think God would say to us today not to give up. Don't give up on what he's promised you. Don't give up on the vision that he's given to you. It may seem a bit vague or distant. For some, it will be extremely real, and you're living in those promises and you're living in the vision that God has given to you. But if you're not in that place, don't give up. It's still there. God is with you, for you. Loves you. He's remembered, but he's got a purpose for not bringing it. We're maybe not ready. Maybe there's more that he wants to feed into us before we're in that place of fulfilling the promise and the vision that he's given to us. You know, we're all learning, aren't we? We're on that journey, same as Abraham. We're on that journey of faith. And maybe God just wants to raise faith levels and show you a few things before you're fully prepared to walk in that promise and that vision that he's given to you. I don't know where you are with God's love, but I would just encourage you today. And as it was God's intention that we should be blessed, which we are, whatever is happening in our lives at the moment, we can always each morning sit before the Lord and thank him for the blessings that he's poured into our life, that he wants to pour into our life today. We've already been blessed today, and for the blessings that will continue to flow. So as we go out from this place and out into the world, let's be a blessing. We are the light of Christ. We walk with the blessings of God. He's right there in us, shining through us. Let's bless those people around us this week and as we leave this place. And perhaps I'll just have a time of prayer. Yeah, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your covenant love for each one of us. And this morning, Father, would you help us to receive the height, the depth, the width of that love that you have for us. All that we've been singing in our worship to you this morning, Father, these words of truth, all that we've shared from the scriptures these words are truth. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd help us to just really draw those words of truth in, that we would truly, absolutely, truly know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would walk from this place with a deeper understanding of our covenant-keeping God and the love that he has for us that is eternal. Those ties and those bonds of friendship from a covenant which God has made with us cannot be broken. Help us to know and understand that to a deeper measure. In Jesus' name, amen.